10. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Cesar Sayak, the man accused of sending pipe bombs to high-profile Democrats, included shards of glass in several packages and also searched for the wife and kids of some of the folks who actually received the bombs. That's according to the feds. Sayak's attorney says all the evidence against him is circumstantial.
Would you like to go to jail based on maybes? Would you like to be put in jail based on, well, we haven't certified a fingerprint. It may be there. That's all the paper says. The other stuff is fluff. There's no other evidence in there that connects him with this allegation.
The cable news ratings find no change at the top, as USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
The long-running favorite among the news channels, Fox News, this time averaged more total viewers than CNN and MSNBC did combined in October. FNC was up 25% in total prime-time viewers, up 16% in total day viewers. It gained 13% in the prime-time demo and 3% in the total day demo versus October of last year. Ratings leader Sean Hannity beating all other news hosts on the month with a total audience of over 3.49 million, leading the Fox primetime and beating CNN, MSNBC, and HLN combined.
And finally, as many Americans celebrate Halloween today, the average American will spend $76 on decorations, candy, and costumes. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Out of business, here's Anthony Lucero.
The chain that was once the biggest sporting goods retailer in the country says it will be closing all 450 of its stores. When Sports Authority first filed for bankruptcy back in March, they said they would close 140 stores while they worked with creditors and lenders. The company says in a new bankruptcy filing that it has not been able to find a buyer for its remaining stores. I'm Anthony Lucero.
And this is USA Radio News.
Whoa. The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky. has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Republican and Democratic presidential campaigns are being targeted by hackers. National Intelligence Director James Clapper saying the hackers may be working for foreign governments, noting that U.S. government officials are working with the campaigns to educate them about the threats. It's a guilty verdict for the woman on trial for killing her 5-year-old son in New Jersey more than 2 decades ago. We get details from Jennifer Polsone.
A jury convicting Michelle Lazinski for killing little Timothy Wiltsy back in 1991. Her brother, who was in court, agrees with the jury's findings.
Right from the beginning, it was a no-win situation for the family. You know, we were devastated by Timmy's murder, and we've been living with that for a long time. And now, you know, my sister's going to be put away for a long time, and we're devastated by that, too.
At the time of his killing, his mother claimed the boy went missing from a carnival in Sayreville and had been abducted. The now Florida woman was not charged until 2014 when investigators reopened the case. She plans to appeal her sentencing, though scheduled for August 23rd.
Protesters in Paris upset about new labor reforms, and USA Radio's Russ Jones explains water cannons and tear gas were used to calm the violent crowds.
Truckers blocked intersections. Thousands took to the streets in protest to government reforms. Reforms intended to make it easier to hire and fire employees in an effort to correct a bad economy and an all-time high unemployment rate of 10%.
France has a strict 35-hour work week, and unions threaten more strikes and demonstration if things don't improve. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Pat. No, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home sweet home.
It is 9:06, time for Hunterton Chamber Radio weather. Flemington, we're at 56 degrees. Weather Underground says that it is 20% chance of precipitation. Actually, we're up to 64. My phone did not update fast enough. 64 degrees, overcast skies, 20% chance of precipitation. Mostly cloudy this morning, then partly sunny with isolated showers this afternoon. Highs in the lower 70s, west winds around 5 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 20%. Partly cloudy with isolated showers in the evening, then mostly clear after midnight. Lows in the mid-40s, northwest winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour, chance of rain, 20%. Sunny tomorrow, highs in the mid-70s. Somebody was driving me with me today and said it was going to be 79 tomorrow. That may or may not be the case. Could be wishful thinking. Northwest winds, 5 miles an hour. Rain likely on 21st, highs in the upper 60s, 70% chance. Partly sunny on...
Going out of business, here's Anthony Lucero.
The chain that was once the biggest sporting goods retailer in the country says it will be closing all 450 of its stores. When Sports Authority first filed for bankruptcy back in March, they said they would close 140 stores while they worked with creditors and lenders. The company says in a new bankruptcy filing that it has not been able to find a buyer for its remaining stores. I'm Anthony Lucero.
And this is USA Radio News.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Republican and Democratic presidential campaigns are being targeted by hackers. National Intelligence Director James Clapper saying the hackers may be working for foreign governments, noting that U.S. government officials are working with the campaigns to educate them about the threats. It's a guilty verdict for the woman on trial for killing her 5-year-old son in New Jersey more than two decades ago. We get details from Jennifer Polsone.
A jury convicting Michelle Lazinski for killing little Timothy Wiltsy back in 1991. Her brother, who was in court, agrees with the jury's findings.
Right from the beginning, it was a no-win situation for the family. You know, we were devastated by Timmy's murder, and we've been living with that for a long time. And now, you know, my sister's going to be put away for a long time, and we're devastated by that, too.
At the time of his killing, his mother claimed the boy went missing from a carnival in Sayreville and had been abducted. The now Florida woman was not charged until 2014 when investigators reopened the case. She plans to appeal her sentencing, though scheduled for August 23rd.
Protesters in Paris upset about new labor reforms, and USA Radio's Russ Jones explains water cannons and tear gas were used to calm the violent crowds.
Truckers blocked intersections. Thousands took to the streets in protest to government reforms. Reforms intended to make it easier to hire and fire employees in an effort to correct a bad economy and an all-time high unemployment rate of 10%.
France has a strict 35-hour work week, and unions threaten more strikes and demonstration if things don't improve. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what. You sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
It is 9:06, time for Hunter Chamber Radio Weather. Flemington, we're at 56 degrees. Weather Underground says that it is 20% chance of precipitation. Actually, we're up to 64. My phone did not update fast enough. 64 degrees, overcast skies, 20% chance of precipitation. Mostly cloudy this morning, then partly sunny with isolated showers this afternoon. Highs in the lower 70s, west winds around 5 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 20%. Partly cloudy with isolated showers in the evening, then mostly clear after midnight. Lows in the mid-40s, northwest winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain, 20%. Sunny tomorrow, highs in the mid-70s. Somebody was driving me with me today and said it was going to be 79 tomorrow. That may or may not be the case. Could be wishful thinking. Northwest winds, 5 miles an hour. Rain likely on 21st, highs in the upper 60s, 70% chance. Partly sunny on Sunday, chance of rain in the morning, then a chance of showers in the afternoon, upper 60s, chance of rain 30%. Well, partly sunny and highs around 70 on Monday, and partly sunny highs in the lower 70s on Tuesday. Temperatures in our area. Well, we got 58 in Highbridge, 61 in Raritan, 59 in Ringo, 62 in New Hope, 56 in Frenchtown, and 58 in Phillipsburg. Good morning, Hunterdon. I'm Chamber Radio Weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and Hunchimer.com. We got my guest here, David White, and he is part of or owner of Performance Leadership Systems. Been there and doing that for 2 years, up in Washington Township, New Jersey, and we're going to talk about one of my favorite philosophical subjects, and I want to apply it to real-world concepts, and that is performance management, performance, getting the best out of your employees, getting your organization on the same page. This is kind of cool. I love this because it's one of the hardest things to do in your business if you have employees. So we're going to bring David in. Talk to him a little bit about what's going on. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. I'm good. Thank you.
Very good. And this is awesome to have you in here today. I didn't bring it in as part of the intro, but one of the really cool things that is part of our little get-together today is not only talking about your business, but also that you're going to bring this subject matter to our listeners in the very near future. So we're looking forward to that. So congratulations on taking the plunge.
Thank you.
So... let's start out a little quick. Did I get it all right? I'm sure there's a lot more to performance leadership systems. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what the business is?
Well, fundamentally, it's performance consulting work.
Okay.
And so, to your point, I am working on organizational issues and people issues.
Yep.
And it's something that I gravitated toward pretty much my whole life because I've always wondered why people do the things that they do.
I wonder it every day.
Yeah, exactly. I still find myself surprised every once in a while, which I would have thought at this point in time wouldn't happen too often, but it still does. So, you know, that's about the only constant is people are going to be to some degree unpredictable.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So let's. I always go back from the beginning. So
sure.
Let's talk about... what did you do, you know, college-wise? What was your original trajectory?
My original trajectory, I went up to Cornell my junior year, and it was in the springtime. And I don't know if anyone's familiar with, well, some of your listeners will be familiar.
Springtime like in May in Cornell.
Yeah, and it was glorious. It was absolutely idyllic. I mean, people are out on the R Squad throwing their frisbee and playing the guitars under the trees and, studying with their books open. And I just fell absolutely in love with it. And nobody told me about the winners.
No. Well, you should have called me, man. I could have told you all about it.
Yeah. Well, the winners are... Now I understand why everyone's so happy in the springtime up there,
because
it is in the snow belt and they get more than their fair share.
Yes,
there's no question about that.
Do.
Plus, it's up high, so it's cold.
Right. So what were you studying over there?
Well, it was interesting. I wrestled while I was up there for a couple of years, for the first 2 years. The wrestling coach had set up some interviews for me.
Oh, I thought you were metaphorically telling me you wrestled with it. No,
no,
you're physical.
No,
okay.
I was actually out there trying to do some things on a mat. But
okay.
In any case, what was interesting is the PSATs, I had scored higher in math than I had in the social studies, so to speak.
Right.
So they sent up an interview for me with the dean of the engineering school because of the math.
Right.
And I was up there with my dad, and I'll never forget it because this man got into a discussion of his philosophy of education, and I couldn't understand him.
Wow.
He was talking at such a high level. I'm sitting in the interview trying to say, should I nod now or, you know, to indicate that I'm, I will never forget it because I've never been so entirely lost in what was supposed to be in a conversation in my life. And I still remember it when I came out of the room and, you know, we're walking out and my dad looked at me and said, well, how did it go? And I said, well, I know what school I'm not going to. Because Cornell's made up of a variety of different schools up there.
Sure, sure.
So what I found was what is their industrial labor relations school.
Okay.
And it was just absolutely, I looked at the curriculum, I looked at what they required.
Mm-hmm.
It was just absolutely perfect for me. There was a minimum of math, mm-hmm. which is not my favorite subject.
Even though you did well in it.
Yeah, exactly. There was no language requirement, and having started taking Latin when I was, you know, initially sure. didn't take a language until I was like a junior or senior in high school.
Right.
I had no problems with the writing and the reading of mm-hmm. French, which is what I took, but it was not pleasant when you had to listen to me. Mm-hmm. So avoiding those two things and the hard sciences, it was all social sciences.
Right.
And that really resonated with me in terms of what I was interested in. So that's where I ended up going to school. And
how did you realize that? How
pardon?
Did you realize that you were interested in social science? What was it that gave you that ping?
It was all because of the people, you know, because it dealt with people's behavior. My dad had his own consulting firm at the time. He dealt with smaller companies. Typically, they did not have an HR function, and so to some degree, they outsourced the HR function to him.
Right.
Many of these were family-owned companies. So I sort of grew up with that, with, you know, constant discussion of things that were happening with people at work and how they were being handled and sometimes often how they were being mishandled.
But you were a teenager, man. I mean, you know, usually it's an us against them mentality, right? So was there anything that resonated? You could listen to your dad,
right,
and all the things that are going on in his consulting work, but that had to resonate with you somehow.
Well, I think what resonated with me was trying to figure out why people would show one face to me when we were alone.
Oh, I'm going to love this subject.
And then when we got into groups, you know, when we got into other people being around, it would like they would morph into this different person.
Yep.
And I had trouble understanding that. And what that really led me into, which I didn't know at the time, was the whole science of social psychology.
Beautiful. Oh, I'm going to love this. I am so glad we're going to talk about this.
Okay.
Because I have a theory.
Okay, let's hear it.
That that you build up a rapport with each individual. And you have, if your memory capacity can handle it, which most people can, somehow, some way, you remember every encounter with that particular individual.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to act a certain way with that person, and you keep bringing that into play when you do it. So now we're in a pseudo business relationship right here talking.
Right.
And so I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to draw upon my business acumen to discuss this with you.
Mm-hmm.
We're not beer buddies.
Right.
And I would not talk to you in that manner right now.
Okay.
However, if you and one of my beer buddy friends got together and we went to a ball game, I'd be in a conflict, because I have to portray the right acumen with you that I've already established,
right?
And I have to do the other one with my friend,
right?
And I'm in a conflict. It's not good to mix those two companies together. And this is where the challenge was, and then where the stresses come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it creates what they call dissonance,
right.
Which is
all right,
two pieces of conflicting information.
Sweet, sweet. So this is what I think this happens all the time in the business world, and especially when you start to bring friendships into the business world. It might not be nepotism, but just friendships where you're establishing very strong friendships in a business world. And those start to evolve beyond the business relationship.
Well, also, there's a hierarchy.
Like what?
Well, in organizations, there's a hierarchy.
Right.
A formal hierarchy of authority and responsibility.
Correct.
And that has a dramatic impact on the interactions,
right.
You know, between people. I still can remember discussing this at a seminar I was running at AT&T. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about how we don't communicate with our boss the same way we communicate with coworkers at, you know, who are peers.
Yes.
And this one very young person just absolutely took huge issue with that and said, that's not true. I communicate with my boss completely. We're completely open with each other.
That's from her perspective.
Well, but she was very, very adamant about it. And I said, well, okay, I guess there are exceptions, but in general, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
And finally, there was a much older man there and he was just listening.
Mm-hmm.
And he, the discussion was winding down and she got emotional about it,
yeah.
In terms of, you know, what you're saying is not true.
Right.
And he finally kind of said, look, if you think you're talking to your boss,
yeah.
The same way that you talk to your coworkers,
yes.
You've been smoking something funny.
Yep.
And I couldn't have put it better.
Well, some people, we don't have enough time for this, Dave. Wow, this is going to be amazing. I mean, first of all, you do have the implied strata, the hierarchy you're talking about.
Right.
I get talked to differently when I walk down the hall than my IT group does. Just because I walk down the hall and I have the jacket on and I'm the chief information officer.
Right.
So people will not talk to me the same way they do.
Right.
When it comes to me and my group, it's I put it the responsibility on myself as the leader to break the barrier.
Right.
Because I have to allow that. This is the same argument that you go through when you're trying to figure out how to behave at a dinner party.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Somebody's the host, and they have to break the ice to let everybody know what the parameters are. So
right.
As the
sort
leader,
of set the ground rules.
As the leader, I got to let them know how much I want them to filter and how much I don't.
Yep.
And I have to constantly focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if I let them be their own devices, I'm going to get different levels of filtering from them.
Sure.
And I still will, but I'm trying to narrow that down as much as possible.
You want it to be as transparent and open as possible, at least in my opinion as a leader.
Right.
But there's a reality there,
yes,
okay?
There is.
There are a lot of dynamics that are going on,
yes, sir.
That do tend to get in the way. If nothing else, there's the telephone game. And if you think about messages from the top of the organization going down,
yep.
It's no different than 10 people sitting around a table and we start with one message.
Correct.
And go around, and by the 10th person, it's a very different message.
Right.
So even if people are making an effort to be accurate,
yep.
Just the very fact of communicating down through levels.
Just the filter and remembering. Yes.
Well, it's going to distort the communication.
Distorted, yep.
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 So some of it's inevitable.
We don't have enough time for all that. All right, we got to take a break. You've already heard from Dave that there's tons of things that go on overtly and covertly in your business. We just scratched the surface. We're going to bring him back in 1 minute. We got to take a quick break. You're listening to Good Morning Hunter and HunterChamber.com with David White.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon and HuntingChamber.com. David White is with me, Performance Leadership Systems, helping you understand and get through all the people things to make you a better organization and more efficient and more effective. And I'm sure we're going to learn a lot more from David over the next few minutes. So, David, we learned how you got into college and the social philosophy, social psychology piqued your interest. How did that gravitate from there all the way up to performance leadership systems? What was the career path?
Well, I actually went the school I went to, the School of State School of Industrial and Labor Relations, was actually at the time a pre-law school. Okay. There was a tremendous amount of reading that was required. Mm-hmm. And I would say probably between 70 and 80% of the kids who graduated from the school went on to law school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I initially thought I would end up doing.
Right.
And then I took my first labor law course, and I could not get past the way law was written.
Yeah,
because I had a teacher in high school who taught me how to write, and I had to work hard to become a better writer. And I would finish up reading these law book cases, and I'd slam the book down. I said, "My God, I could have written that thing in half the words, and it would have been understandable."
Yes.
And so, no disrespect to lawyers. I give you all the credit from the world for having gone through what you went through. But the language just it wasn't going to happen.
No, it's a gatekeeper. If you don't understand it, it keeps you out of the club.
Well, I said I happened to meet, in fact, one of my roommates there who went on to Fordham. And I said, I couldn't get past the way it was written. Yeah. And he said, "Oh yeah, it's horrible. Why do you think you had to pass so much?"
There you go.
And at one point in time, and I don't know if this may be just urban legend, but someone told me that at one point in time, lawyers were paid by the word.
Well, that's possible.
Now, whether that's true historically or not, but it's not beyond the realm of possibility.
No, it's not.
So
all right. So you went there. You started this pre-law focus. What was the first job? Where were you?
Actually, my first job. Well, my first job was as a bartender out in Columbus, Ohio.
There's social psychology there too.
Yeah, it didn't make my parents real happy at the time, but my dad was pretty good about it because my mom got upset and he said, "Look, don't worry, he'll be bored in 6 months."
Okay.
So. And, in fact, I ended up working at an all-black community action agency out in Columbus, Ohio. Guy came in, regular customer at the bar, and we got talking. And one of the things I was thinking about at the time was journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Oh, you're interested in that?" And we got talking. And then he got around to saying, "Well, we're looking for someone in our public relations department."
Right.
And it just took off from there. He had me interview a woman. Her name was Elma Lewis. She's mm-hmm. very well known in the arts up right. from Boston. She came down.
Right.
Interviewer wrote it up. They liked what they saw, and so they hired me.
Cool.
And that was quite an experience because, as I said, it was 99% of it was made up of African-American folks.
So you got another perspective there. And so you're starting to build, put all the tools in the shed.
Well, it was really interesting because, you know, it was my first exposure to being a minority.
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't realize, because I was young and idealistic, and had studied this in college to some degree.
Right.
What I didn't realize is that the agency was a very large source of employment for black people in Columbus.
Okay.
And I obviously was not black.
Right.
So there was a lot of negativity around my hire. I still can remember one guy coming up and looked at me and said, "And your name's even white." And it's you know, it's like, oh, well, there's not much I can do about that.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a unique experience for someone like myself
right.
to get at that age.
Do you use that perspective when you're talking to folks in your consulting right now? Are those things you draw on?
Well, I think what I the strategy I ended up using down there was if people would not accept me at face value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and didn't want to work with me, there wasn't a whole lot I could do with that
right.
about that. So I would work with the people that I could work with. And that has kind of followed me through my entire career. You know, some people you can work with,
mm-hmm.
some people it's not going to work. And you can't beat that door down.
Right. All right. So let's turn the page to right now. So a typical customer client that you're looking for that's looking for you, what would that be?
Well, it's probably going to be a family-owned company.
Right.
And it's probably going to have somewhere between 10 or 100 employees.
Mm-hmm.
So it's large enough that they do have managerial and employee issues.
Right.
Most
of them have learned it on the job. They really didn't get any
right, because
formal education.
Well, in many cases, I mean, people start a business because they have a passion in a certain area.
Yep.
But that doesn't necessarily prepare them to manage a business.
Rarely, I did the same thing. Rarely does a person start a business to be behind a desk. They started a business because they didn't want to be behind a desk.
Because they wanted to do something they loved doing.
And then they did it so well that they had to hire more people. And
right.
then you start having to worry about how well they're taking the mantle of the company. And all of a sudden you became a manager and you didn't even know it.
Yeah.
And a lot of them take that with a chip on their shoulder, right?
In terms of?
The fact that they're really not doing what they intended to do. You know, the mechanic is not the mechanic anymore.
Right.
So now they're doing something that they're really not, in most cases, not really equipped to do. And now most of the time it's just they follow me instead of absolutely communicating it. And typically the person that they hired doesn't have the same, may not have the same passion.
Or the motivation.
Motivation and the quality that the person that obviously owns the business does.
Right.
And so that's where these issues percolate.
Right? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Not to mention the fact that if you have families, not one person, but families running the hierarchy of the business, you have the family issues.
Yeah. Many of the clients, when I first started doing consulting work with
right.
my dad, were family-owned companies.
Yeah.
So I actually went back. Well, I went back to school for two things.
So you're a family counselor.
Yeah. Well, I got additional training in family therapy. Because I wanted to understand what I saw going on
right.
within the businesses, because so many times you saw you saw things happening that
yep.
did not make sense.
Yep.
Okay. And clearly there were family issues involved, but I couldn't fully understand them. So,
sure.
So now I've got a much better grounding in terms of trying to understand the dynamics and where the business and the family dynamics are coming into conflict,
right.
And helping, quite honestly, the family work through the issues and find a balance that works for both of them.
Sure.
Okay, both the family and the company. Sure. To find a balance that work. And as one person actually who's a member of this chamber once said to me, said, "Yeah, the last name is both a blessing and a curse."
Mm-hmm.
And that's very true.
Yep. So, how does somebody seek you out? Does it get to the point where it's so bad that they finally say, "We got to find somebody"? Or how do you get connected with a potential client?
Well, I'd have to say, Chris, most of it comes through referrals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Though, yeah, every once in a while, someone will seek me out, but it's usually because they've heard about me from someone else, and the pain has gotten to the point where they know something has to change.
Okay.
And at this point, they're not sure what it is or how to go about doing it.
Okay. So you walk through the door, or how does the first encounter happen?
Well, the first encounter happens with an exploratory discussion, and it starts with my trying to understand their business and more specifically where the person I'm talking to, which is usually, depending on the size, but usually the owner or a high-level executive, what it is that they want to see this organization accomplish,
right,
and what's keeping them awake at night because it's getting in the way.
All right. Now I'm going to go back to something you said a little earlier. Are they absolutely truthful when they first start, or are there skeletons in the closet that you get unveiled later on?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. The latter. Absolutely.
I'm talking from experience here.
Well, look, as soon as you start talking about family issues, even without that, there are trust issues.
Right.
Okay, and you don't develop trust overnight. So you'll get some surface things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty good at interviewing people and getting them to talk to me. And so bit by bit, more of the story starts to come out as they start to feel comfortable with them. And they know that I really am working in their best self-interest.
Right. I imagine you do this. I'm just going to confirm it. There's some type of confidentiality agreement that you provide.
If needed, you'd be surprised. It doesn't come up that often.
Really?
No.
No.
Maybe because, I mean, if there's access to particular information if in the course of my work I'm going to have to do that.
Yep.
I mean, it's not an issue if they need that.
Sure.
Because the quickest way I can destroy my credibility is to start, you know.
Bad-mouthing the guy next door.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that'll work. All right, so you have this encounter, this first meeting.
Right.
And they've started out with, "David, we have a couple of problems here, and you're already looking for the shoe to drop, but they're not unveiling it yet." You do your interview. By this time, the fact that they've contacted you, it's more perverse than they even realize. How do you organize it in a manner to make it a strategy, to have a strategic attack on it?
Well, it really depends on what the presenting problem is.
Sure. Okay. Well, give me some examples of what things you've encountered without naming the companies or the people. So that our listeners understand all the different facets that you get involved in.
Well, often it involves some kind of an internal change that has to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, when I look back at my career, that's what I've been doing the entire time. I've always gotten involved in kind of startup situations or total reorganizations.
Mm-hmm.
And that interests me. It gives me the opportunity to put my fingerprints on the foundation, so to speak.
Right.
And I don't do well in maintenance jobs. Mm-hmm. I got to the point where I used to tell headhunters, I said, "This is a maintenance role. They just want to keep going the way they're going.
Like, thanks, but no thanks.
Nah, my DNA is built that I'm going to come in and start looking around how to change things. Mm-hmm. So depending on that, that'll be the first question is, you know, what needs to change within this organization?
Mm-hmm. Do they have the answer to that? Or is
pardon?
It, do they have the answer to that, or you have to provide that answer to them?
Both.
Okay.
Sometimes they will know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll know something, but, you know, they're holding the tip of the iceberg, and this is what they're seeing. And the issue is really a different issue
okay.
than that.
Right.
So it really depends.
In certain cases, are you just the guy that they can't bring themselves to actually execute the change, and they're looking for a third party outside person to do it and be the bad guy?
I've been used that way.
Yeah.
Okay, as the scapegoat. But that comes with the territory if you're doing consulting work.
Sure.
Because some people say, well, in order to avoid complete responsibility, I'll show that I'm getting the best help I can in order to resolve that. And if it doesn't work, well, then it's not, you know, I did what the best I could do.
I see.
Have I ever had that happen to me? Sure.
Yeah.
But not normally.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally the kind of relationship I develop with my clients, you know, doesn't lend itself to that.
Cool. Yeah.
But my model of consulting is not like I'm a doctor-patient model where I come in and I'm going to cure you or I'm going to fix you. It doesn't work that way. It's more, it's a joint problem-solving process. And a lot of times in there, there's some level of awareness of what the real problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we've identified that, then the question is, okay, now what are we going to do about it? What are the alternatives?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the, you know, what's going to work the best and what's going to be the cost involved?
Sure. there are times, I'm sure you've kind of alluded to it, that you don't do maintenance. But I'm sure there's also times when a person's asked you to come in, you've really established what the problem is,
sure.
and yet they're still resistant. Sometimes it does come down to that. I mean, and I'm sure you have to talk to these, say, either we're going to make some serious changes or what am I doing here?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I've had those conversations. Chris, it goes back to the thing I alluded to before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to work with the people that I can work with.
There you go. Ah, see, it all comes back full circle again.
Yeah, and
that was back in Columbus.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, life is too short
yep. yes, sir.
to be wasting my time just going through the motions.
Right.
So you know, those are not the kind of client relationships I'm looking for.
Right. My other experience with this type of work that you do is you can't do it all the time, full time. The business still has to run it, take care of its main practice,
mm-hmm.
its main focus. So there's only so much time these folks can dedicate to work with you. So what is the typical schedule? Is it a day a week? Or
well, yeah, it depends on what I'm doing.
right.
In many cases, one of the things I'll be working with, the kind of company that I discussed, you know, that maybe 10 to 50 or 10 to 100 even, we might start with some business planning. Because when we go back to that initial issue of where are you trying to take the company, and where, sometimes people really struggle with that, answering that.
Never really thought about it. They just thought they had to produce a product and that was it.
Well, you know, they're small,
yeah.
so they're spread thin.
Right.
And the owner-manager is wearing, as you noted before, multiple hats. And yep. they're so busy in the day-to-day operations and keeping things going and keeping their head above water.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. Taking the time to step back and look at it
yep.
is a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
And B, even if they do, they're not sure how to do it.
And if they do decide what they want to do, I guess you filter through and say, well, there's some items that you're running on a treadmill on that really aren't getting you where you want to go, your ultimate trajectory.
Right.
So you're helping them weed through activities that may be irrelevant or inefficient or not relevant to the strategy at hand.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, it comes, I mean, there are obviously a huge, tremendous number of variables in operating a business.
Sure.
My focus is on the people.
Yep.
I'm not a finance guy. I'm not an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do process design? Sure, but I wouldn't say it's my first. I wouldn't hold myself out as being a great expert in that area.
Right.
My expertise lies in helping companies change,
mm-hmm.
finding the right people, and not as a headhunter, but identifying what they need. And you also find that a lot in these companies, because in many cases, the people that are still working with them, mm-hmm. are people who themselves have come up through the organization.
Yeah.
And sometimes they just have not developed the skills
person.
And the knowledge that they really need to mm-hmm. be functioning at that certain level.
So now we get back to being appropriate executives, making the right choice and having to make those tough choices that somebody in your organization might be a great person, but just not the right fit for that role.
Right. Yeah. And it really may not have the skills
and, that's what's killing
and knowledge.
Yeah,
and
you
know, they're either becoming a block,
right,
or their underperformance is dragging the organization down.
Cool.
I can remember now, this is when, because most of my jobs in corporate America in some way have evolved into becoming an internal consultant.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working with a group of supervisors because there had been a lot of issues. And there was a new manager who had taken over.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through this process of working with them as a group and trying to develop some different norms. But there was one individual who had been there a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And was always a source of conflict and problems. But she happened to be very, very good with customers, and this was a customer service center.
Yep.
At the end of the process, the manager and I sat down, and she was talking about that person. And I'll say Doris.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of the manager I'm talking to.
Right.
And I looked at him and I said, Doris, who is your second in command, right, in your hierarchy? And she named this individual. And I just looked and I said, do you trust her?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no. I said, will you ever trust her?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, I don't think so. And I just looked and I said, there you go.
There's your problem.
There you go. And I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you pretty much know what your alternatives are. You either live with this situation
mm-hmm.
or you don't.
No.
And just a caveat on this particular story, because she did end up letting the person go.
Mm-hmm.
When she did that, one of the other supervisors called me,
mm-hmm.
and she said, Dave, you're just never going to believe what happened. And I said, what? And she said, well, you know, I got the news about Janet.
Mm-hmm.
And while she wasn't my favorite person in the world, I don't like to see anyone lose their job, and I felt badly for her. So I called her up and said, you know, I heard about the news, and I'm really sorry, and blah, blah, blah. And Janet's response was, yeah, they could have fired two of you and kept me. And that was her response.
Nice.
And the person on the phone said, I stopped feeling badly for her real
there
quick.
You go. It showed her true colors right then and
there. Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back talking to David White about performance leadership systems. Hang on.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Listen to Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntingChamber.com. David White is here with me, and we're talking one of my favorite subjects, man. I love talking about people and how people act and react, and you get to do it every day, which is kind of neat. So David is Performance Leadership Systems. David, how do people get in touch with you to perhaps have a discussion about their job or their business?
Basically, two ways is, they can always call me by phone.
Right.
And the number is 908-347-7793.
Mm-hmm.
And then my email address, which is dwight, and that's W-I-G-H-T. The spelling's a little strange. .pls@outlook.com.
.pls@outlook.com. All right. One of the other special things, David's got all this experience and stories and anecdotes, and he's going to be bringing that to Hunterdon Chamber Radio. He's going to be on Tuesdays, 1 to 2 every Tuesday for an hour. And so I know you've done something like this in the past. How do you see it going? What do you think you want to bring to folks, and what do you think is the mission of the show?
Well, on a very selfish level,
mm-hmm.
I love to hear people's stories. Everybody has got a story.
Yes, sir.
And the more I hear them, the more there's always something interesting about it, something where, you know, they started down one path and ended up somewhere else because of decisions they made,
right,
or because of life events that occurred.
Right.
And, I find that fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to bring people with their stories and focus both, primarily on their career issues, you know, the work life that they've had.
Right. Do you foresee them coming on as people that have had struggles and triumphed, or do you see them as kind of a help process during the show, where you're talking about perhaps an issue that they're struggling with and trying to help them solve it right then and there? It's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's an
interesting, big challenge, though.
That's an interesting question. Probably more that they've been successful.
Yeah.
The kind of work I do, Chris, to be honest, it doesn't lend itself to an audience. Okay. It's difficult for people.
I think you're selling yourself short there. And I'll say it this way. We are by nature, the human beings love to watch other people suffer. We also like to see other people succeed after triumph.
Right.
We also need camaraderie, and we get that camaraderie by seeing other people having troubles and realizing that they...
You're not alone.
That's right. So that's why it's compelling.
I think to a large degree that's going to depend on my guest.
Of course, of course. They don't want to air all their dirty laundry.
No. It really will depend on them if they want to use their time, because in some respects, this is going to be their time when I bring people on.
Correct.